Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Main Street here on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein. We are glad that you are with us today. What do you get when a 20-year-old with barely enough Spanish, no real travel plan, and a one-way ticket lands in Puerto Rico? A summer night story that's equal parts adventure, luck, and life lessons. And we'll have that story in just a bit before we head to Washburn, where Bluegrass Goes Pink is proving that great music and a caring community can make a real difference for local families facing cancer. And we begin today's Main Street with Prairie Plates and a taste of Paris that's now arriving in Fergus Falls.
This is another edition of Prairie Plates here on Main Street. I'm Rick Eon, and as always, we get some really good guests on, food leaders, people doing really fun stuff in the region. And there's a new pastry shop opening in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and we have a special guest with us today via phone, Emily McCoon, with the new Coquette Patisserie in downtown Fergus Falls, Minnesota. So we're taking you to a sweet new food destination in Minnesota Lakes Country. And Fergus Falls area is a popular place for many North Dakotans in the summertime because it is Lakes Country. But Emily McCoon, welcome to Prairie Plates here on Main Street.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. And you've been having a series of soft openings lately, and I'm just wondering how those are going, and also when is the grand opening?
So our grand opening is scheduled for Saturday, August 1st from 7 a.m. until 1 p.m., and that will begin our official hours of operation of Wednesday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Saturdays and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. So this will be our first week here that we're going to do a run of Wednesday through Sunday with limited hours each day.
That sounds good. And I am planning to come out for the grand opening on Saturday, August 1st. And I'm really looking forward to it because it's a really unique spot in Fergus Falls. And for those who don't know, Fergus Falls, Minnesota has a really growing and burgeoning food scene. And I've had Chef Evan Burkdahl on from Toast and Union Avenue Eatery, and he really does some good stuff. So this just adds to the sweetness of Fergus Falls, so to speak.
Absolutely. Hoping to.
Well, Emily, describe Coquette Patisserie, your new pastry shop in downtown Fergus Falls.
So we are a dine-in or takeout French pastry shop. We are located in a very old building right on Lincoln Avenue in downtown that formerly was Dutchman Organics, a local health food store, and operated this space as a grocery store. There are two businesses under this roof. The front half was formerly Dutchman Organics, and that has recently transitioned into a new ownership and a rebrand called Otto and Asher Farm to Table Marketplace. And we have business autonomy, but we do share space here. And we are located in the back half of the building that was, a couple years ago, converted into a licensed kitchen and was operated by a local guy making sushi and selling sushi out of the kitchen here. And he had to abandon ship a while back to move back home for some family things, and that just left a vacant kitchen here and became available to me. And I signed a lease in January of this year and have been working on the build out ever since.
And it really has a vibrant look to it. I really like the atmosphere. I did stop in when you weren't open a few months ago and picked up some tea or something because I was going out to Glendalough State Park, which is by Battle Lake, Minnesota. But it really has a fun vibe.
Yeah, it's very flirty and very feminine and very fun and very Parisian. I kind of got the idea for this when I went to France for the first time in 2023 and, of course, visited many patisseries, many boulangeries, which is a bread bakery. We focus on pastries, not bread. We're not a typical American bakery. We, you know, with cakes and cupcakes and muffins and scones, we really stick to the traditional French pastry. But there is just such a fun, and you know, the name Coquette translates to flirty in French. I wanted it to be fun, kind of poppy, and very, very much excited about creating a space where people can gather. I think that we were lacking that in Fergus Falls as far as a bakery goes. We don't have a sit-down bakery anywhere. So yeah, happy to be offering that.
Well, let's talk about some of those baked goods and sweet treats that you offer.
I graduated from Auguste Escoffier Culinary Academy in, I graduated culinary school in fall of 25 and then continued on my education to obtain my associate's degree in baking and pastry. And I just finished up with that in June here this year. And so I have an affinity for traditional baking methods and techniques as opposed to modernized shortcuts, things like artificial ingredients, preservatives, those sorts of additives that a lot of bakers need to incorporate to maximize profit. I've always felt very strongly about not having an interest in that. So, you know, I mean, opening a brick and mortar bakery was something that I often fantasized about for 15 years now. So, you know, throughout culinary school, learning the technique, visiting the patisseries all over Europe, not only France, but Italy, Spain, I knew that I wanted to mimic my business and model my business off of the way they operate there, which is baked from scratch daily. When they run out, they run out. So that allows me to sort of have a better control over inventory and productivity, I suppose, and not have to take any of those shortcuts. It's a lot of work, but you know, our croissants, there's 5 ingredients. As soon as they come out of the oven, the clock starts ticking as far as freshness goes. That was very much how it was in Europe. You go in, whatever they have for the day. When they sell out, they sell out. I hope to sell out every day. You know, nobody wants a day old croissant. So we are also a farm-to-table business. So my background prior to culinary is in sustainable agriculture and food production, circa 2013. So I have always been passionate about the local food economy and nutrient density and clean eating and clean cooking and baking. And so to have a food business, brick and mortar, that finally gets to tie that all together and I get to support these other producers is really, really an amazing thing for me. So all of our pastries are made in-house, small batch, 100% from scratch, made with as many locally sourced ingredients as possible.
Let's talk about some of the other things you offer too, coffee and sodas and Stambino's is a roaster in Fergus Falls who I'm guessing you utilize.
I feel that every local business should be, that serves coffee should be, you know, supporting the local roaster. I've been a fan of Stambino's since I moved here 15 years ago when Cafe 116 was still open, which is now Toast. And yeah, so that was just a given. So we use locally roasted Stambino's espresso and drip coffee. We have a full espresso bar. So, you know, we've sold a lot more cappuccinos in our opening week than I anticipated. I've been, as you know, that's a very European espresso drink. I have been a barista before here in town, and in my experience, when people order a cappuccino, you know what they're actually thinking they're ordering is a latte. What they want is a creamy, frothy, sweet drink that they get out of the spigot at the gas station that's called a cappuccino. I've been inquiring with customers when they order cappuccinos, you know, without being insulting, like, I want to make sure this is what you want, you know, the espresso, the steamed milk, and the foam. And they do. And they've gotten real good feedback. And it's giving my baristas a nice chance to practice and hone their skills in that, because we do want to create like traditional European beverages, you know, as opposed to the kind of, you know, we're not doing the iced blended latte filled with sugary powders and preservatives.
And I did notice some really fun looking French style sodas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All that is an Italian soda with a little half and half added to it. But it's so delicious. That's something that I grew up drinking in Southern California. My older sister, she's kind of the one responsible for my love of France. And she lived there for a while. And I can't remember where I first heard of a French soda, but I definitely grew up drinking them. I remember we moved from California to Fargo when I was 10. And there used to be a soda fountain behind Zandbros. You probably remember that.
I was there numerous times. We love Zandbros. Miss them too.
Me too. So that's a unique to Coquette offering, and people are loving them.
Definitely refreshing this time of year. We're having a fun conversation here on Prairie Plates today with Emily McCoon, owner of the new Coquette Patisserie in downtown Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Well, Emily, I want to ask you, what does it mean to own and run an upscale French-style pastry shop in a vibrant Minnesota Lakes Country community like Fergus Falls?
It's not always easy for me to live in the rural Midwest. I'm a city girl through and through. I was born and raised outside of LA. But when I moved here 15 years ago, that was the first time that I ever discovered my love of community. You know, with a small town feel, it's easier to be part of the community when there's only 14,000 people. And I got my first taste of business ownership all the way back in 2015 when I started a homegrown gardening business, growing organic produce, a couple years after graduating with that degree, you know. So it's been over 10 years that I've been in and out of, but essentially at all times, part of the local business community. And what I love most is being able to support other local businesses in the process. You know, we will be, again, we're not a bakery, a bread bakery. So I'm contracting with Evan at Falls Baking for our French bread and baguettes for our upcoming sandwich menu and things like that. And like, again, with the Stambinos and the supporting the local farmers and growers. I mean, that's a huge part of a circular economy that I'm very dedicated to and passionate about. So it feels really good to be a part of that. You know, I think that finally we're starting to see traction in that regard in the community after a long time of kind of bewilderingly not, because we have such an abundance of local small businesses and producers here. So it's very, very invigorating and thrilling to be a part of that. And again, just to create a space where people can gather, you know, children, teens, and the elderly and everything in between. I love the idea and the vision of people coming in and having a fun coffee drink and a scratch made pastry and having conversation again, you know, away from their phone.
And what I love about Fergus Falls and Otter Tail County is there is really a fun arts community in that part of Minnesota. And I just think it's a really special place in the Midwest. Yeah. And talking about the community, what's the support from the community of Fergus Falls and surrounding area been like lately? We mentioned before you've been having a series of soft openings. So I'm just checking in.
Yeah. It's been wild. It's been exhausting. It has been illuminating. It's been helpful to kind of try these trial runs. And like, you know, here's the thing. I created my business presence in September of 2024. So people have been following along this journey for that long. I mean, we're coming up on 2 years here. So people, and I think that a lot of people in the community have enjoyed watching it unfold, watching my process through culinary school, watching my skills grow, you know, and my confidence grow, and watching the build out of the brick and mortar, of course, eagerly, and some people more patient than others. But the reception has been amazing. We've been open 3 days, and every day we sold out within the first 1 to 2 hours of our inventory. So I spent the weekend to kind of decompress and figure out how to increase inventory. And it's still, there's going to be some growing pains here, but we've got a whole spread of 8 different types of laminated croissants. We've got the eclairs, profiteroles, the fruit tarts. We're introducing a chocolate tart and a Bakewell tart this week. We're introducing a new flavor of macaron this week for a 5 flavor spread. And just kind of, you know, crossing our fingers and hoping to get through each day and then learn from that day and hope to have our bearings a bit more by our grand opening. And still there are going to be a lot more growing pains during this time. And we can't please everyone, but the reception has been very encouraging and supportive. You know, the people who come in and we have to tell them, well, we sold out for the day already. They've just been really supportive, not bitter or upset. That's what I love about this community.
I look forward to doing some sampling when I come out on August 1st. I love macarons, so be ready for me to, you know, sample a few of those. But it's great to see the community rallying around this new business. Emily, how can people find you online? Website, social media pages?
Yeah, well, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Coquette Patisserie. And our website is coquettefergusfalls.com.
And your products are very Instagram worthy, so I would encourage people to check out Instagram. Oh, it's just really nice stuff. And then the physical location, again, for folks that are interested, it's in the back of Otto and Asher Farm to Table Market at 211 West Lincoln Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, which is the main drag to get to downtown. And downtown Fergus Falls is a lot of fun. There's art galleries, other restaurants, other shops. It's just a fun place to go and hang out. Emily, before we part ways and let you get on with baking, and you're making caramel sauce right now, I think.
Yes.
But is there anything else you'd like to add about your new pastry shop or community of Fergus Falls, food scene there?
Just to let people know that we'll be open Wednesdays through Sundays, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the weekdays and 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. And just, we ask for your patience and forgiveness during this very brand new stage. I mean, this is a brand new business. This is in a brand new industry as a pastry shop, scratch made. And it's a brand new for me as a brick and mortar food business, which has been absolutely the most expensive and challenging thing I've ever done. And has coming from the cannabis industry, that really says a lot, Rick. I'll just leave it at that. I thought that was going to be the hardest thing I ever did. This is way harder, but I'm also so much happier. So I just invite people to come in, have 100, you know, pastries they can feel good about eating with clean ingredients. You know, real food. I'm really excited about offering that.
Well, Emily McCoon with the new Coquette Patisserie in downtown Fergus Falls. I know you're busy, so thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Rick. Well, I look forward to seeing you at the grand opening.
We'll see you Saturday, August 1st. This has been another edition of Prairie Plates here on Main Street. I'm Rick Dion. We'll talk to you next week.
The Trowood Performing Arts School presents Disney's Frozen, July 20th through August 1st at Bluestem Center for the Arts in Moorhead. Directed by Trowood alumna and Broadway performer Becky Galsvig. Information at trowood.org.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein. At the Invitational for The Tell, Fargo's live monthly storytelling event earlier this month, tellers were asked to reach back into their memories for tales of summer nights. Lana Somalia recalled the time she got the chance to study in a United States territory, and boy, was she a fish out of water.
Hi, everyone. It was 1994, and in 1994, I was 20 years old, and my prefrontal cortex wasn't fully developed, but I didn't know about that back then, so, you know, you just go on. And I was a student at Morehead State University. That's what it was called then. And there was a flyer on a bulletin board. And the flyer said, National Student Exchange. And that's a thing where you can go to another college in another state for a year and pay your home state tuition, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you could choose from all 50 states and Puerto Rico. So I was like, I want to go somewhere. I like Spanish class, so I went to the meeting, I applied for the program, I got accepted, and I would be attending this, the University of Puerto Rico in San Germán. It's a small town in Puerto Rico, and I learned something that just because it's on an island doesn't mean it's on the beach. So it was a little surprise, you know, to be like inland. But okay, so I thought I have some planning to do. And there was minimal communication with the college in Puerto Rico and me. I don't know if that's their fault. You know, it might have been mine. And I signed up for all of my classes in Spanish, but I didn't really know Spanish. I thought, you know, just get in there. Just do it. Just learn, you know? So I did that. And then I decided, okay, I need to buy a plane ticket. And to save probably like $29, I got a plane ticket from Miami to Puerto Rico. And then I took the Greyhound from Fargo to Miami. So you know, it's just like, why not make it long and complicated and interesting? So I did that. And then I thought, you know, I'm all ready. I'm ready to go. And I was 20, and it was summer in Minnesota, and okay. And so August 16th came around, and my mom brought me to the Greyhound station, and I took the bus. And after, like, hours and days, I got to Miami. And there's a lot of stories there, but I won't go into that. And then I took a cab from the bus station to the airport, and then I'm at the airport, and I get on a flight to San Juan. And everything's going pretty well. And then I get to Puerto Rico, and the air conditioning was broken, but okay. And I discover at that moment that the place I'm going is across the island, and the only way to get there is with another flight, okay? You couldn't get a shuttle or, you know. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll buy another ticket to this city called Mayagüez. And while I was waiting, I was talking to this guy, and these armed agents approach him, and he runs, and he goes outside onto this bridge over the freeway, and he jumps off the bridge onto a truck speeding by, and I don't know what happened after that, but I was like, yes, I'm here, you know? I was so happy. And so I get onto the little flight to go to the next place, and while I was, you know, on that flight, I started thinking, you know, I don't really know how I'm going to get to my campus, but I'll worry about it later. Like, I'll figure it out. So we land, and the plane was tiny. There was like 15 passengers. So we get off, we land, and we get off the plane, and it's this dark tarmac with nothing, like not a building and not city lights in the distance. And it's dark, like it gets dark really early there. And I thought, okay, this is fine. And I, you know, all the passengers disappeared into the night, and I yelled, hey, wait, I don't have a plan, but I didn't. I didn't want to, like, look unprepared. So I just kind of sat there and or stood there, and there was a payphone. So I go over to the payphone, and I look up taxi in the yellow pages, and I call a number, and they hang up on me because my Spanish is, you know, like, and I can't blame Duolingo because it wasn't there back then. And so I called the next number, hung up. Next number, hung up. And I was like, okay, you know, real good. And so I decided to, like, just disassociate for a while. I sit on my backpack, and I'm a third kid, so I got left a lot of places. Like, I was really good at just waiting for a long time. So that was my entire plan. And I didn't believe in watches, so I don't know how long I was waiting. But I know what I was wearing. I was wearing this, like, disintegrating sleeveless gauzy top and this wraparound skirt with elephant print. And it was my favorite, and I wore it every day. So I know that's what I was wearing. And it's probably what saved me all in all, because I was sitting there, and this car pulls up. I see headlights, and I don't know. I wasn't scared, even though the one thing that was protecting me from the world was pepper spray that they confiscated from my suitcase because I was talking to that fugitive. So I don't know. It was a problem. They pull up, and this young woman comes out. She was like my age, and she says, hi, I just didn't see you get picked up by anybody, and I was wondering if you were still there. And I said, yep. And then she's like, I thought you looked muy cool. And I was like, oh, thank you. And she's like, do you want to go to a party? And I was like, well, duh. So I get in her car, and we go to a party. I stay up all night. I fell in love at first sight with this guy named Eduardo. I learned how to dance the merengue. I got a tarot card reading. Like, it was a really good party. And then I eventually went to the campus, and I took classes, and I learned a bunch of Spanish. And I got dengue fever, which is no fun. And I dug up this conch shell that I still have. And I played a lot of dominoes, and I swam in, like, a bioluminescent waters. And I haven't been back since. But I'm going back in 2 weeks. And I know, for a reunion. I, like, finally know the last names of the friends I met there. They found me on Facebook, and I tried blocking them. And then it turns out they were people I know. And so I'm going to Puerto Rico. I think I have a better plan. And I have to have a good outfit because I just think maybe I'll meet Bad Bunny. So that's it.
Lana Somalia's story of finding herself and hopefully the international music superstar in beautiful Puerto Rico. The Tell is a live monthly storytelling event in the spirit of The Moth. It takes place at the 4 and 4 above Side Street Grill and Pub in downtown Fargo. An all-new season begins September 10th, and you can find more information at The Tell's Facebook page or on Instagram. Still ahead on this Wednesday's Main Street, Bluegrass Goes Pink brings music, community, and cancer support to those who need it here in North Dakota. That's ahead. Stay with us. This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein. Bluegrass music, community spirit, and support for local cancer patients come together this weekend in Washburn. Well, the forecast has prompted a change of venue. The mission behind the 14th annual Bluegrass Goes Pink concert remains exactly the same. Joining me is Jill Weiss. She's, of course, the event organizer, and we'll talk about this year's event, the people it helps, and why it's become one of the region's most meaningful summer traditions. Jill, welcome back to Main Street.
It's good to be back, Craig.
Jill, let's start with the news. The event has moved indoors because of weather. Someone said it might be a little warm outside this weekend, Jill.
We saw the forecast. We've already changed it like a week ago. We saw the forecast. We are going to have the fun walk run at the state park in the morning Saturday, and registration's at 8, and then we get the runners going about 9 a.m. And that'll wrap up around 10:30-ish, and before it really gets too hot. So that still takes place at the Cross Ranch State Park, and they'll come right on into the visitor center there. But yes, we're going to move all the fun over to the Washburn Memorial Hall, right on Main Street, 805 Main Street. You can't miss it. And we will have the supper with all the Washburn churches, and Cottonwood will be playing. The meal will start at 5:30, and the music and the speakers at 6:30.
Jill, for folks who maybe have never attended Bluegrass Goes Pink, tell me what it's all about.
Oh, it's all about our patients, I guess. I work as an RN at the Cancer Center in Bismarck, where we do radiation, and it's all for them. The foundation supports our patients in so many different ways. First of all, we did start this in memory of my sister, Barb Wild, 14 years ago when she had passed away of breast cancer at age 50. And she had been gone 10 years, and we said, gosh, we got to do something for the Cancer Center with our band, you know, because we can have a concert and have some fun and raise some money. And that it started as a one-night concert, and here we are at the year 14, which I'm really, really proud of and really grateful for a lot of people who help us. The second year, people came out and said, well, do you have any food? And I'm like, well, in the motorhome I do, like in my camper, you want me to make you a sandwich? Like, okay. So then we got all the Washburn churches on board and the Washburn ambulance, and that's been really fun to have the community be involved as well. But it's all really basically for our patients who receive a gas card when they're driving every day. We have 24 apartments that are within not even a half a block of our clinic. They can stay in those for $20 a night if they can pay, you know. We do a nutritional support for those head and neck cancers. And we have a therapist she's a social worker, but she's our emotional support therapist for the patients and the families if they're struggling and to accept what's going on. And Jen's also a cancer survivor. One of my favorite people I love to talk about is Courtney. She's our massage therapist, and people are like, okay, what's that got to do with having radiation? But that's a big deal, having massages. And so we set the patients up twice a week for a 10-minute massage with Courtney. And then on Wednesdays, she gives their caregiver a massage. So if they have a family member with them, that person signs up. And all Wednesday is just the caregivers. And it's funny because when we interview a new patient and they're going to start treatment, We used to ask them, would you like one or two massages a week? Well, I don't even ask them. I just sign them up. Because these men especially are like, oh, I ain't going to have a massage. You know, they're just not going to do it. And so I secretly sign them up. And so then when Courtney goes to get them after their treatment, they can't really say no. And then they love it. And they just, that's their favorite person. We get so many emails and letters and thanking Courtney. And a little bit about Courtney. She's a two-time cancer survivor in her early 30s. And she's the Mandan High School boys basketball cheerleader advisor. So she's been a cheerleader her whole life. And now she helps the high school girls. But she's our cheerleader at the Cancer Center, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's amazing.
How's the event grown, Jill, over the past 14 years? I have a feeling that it's grown a lot.
You know, it really has. The word of mouth, of course. You know, we honor people every year. We have these shirts and tank tops for the walk run, and we honor people every year who have passed away of cancer. And that support for those families, they come to the event and you know, they're grieving and getting through their time of losing their loved one to this horrible disease. And then they see how much joy we have and survivors speaking and all the activities for everyone. It's just grown, I think, because of, it's just been really popular and positive and a great way to remember people, you know, that we have lost. Of course, the food has brought a lot of people in. That's a free will offering. And we probably should talk about the menu a little bit because that's my favorite part. And so the Catholic Church, they grill the hot dogs and hamburgers, as they should. Jack Zent's got all those people lined up. And then we've got the Lutheran Church. They are in charge of the baked beans. And if anyone can figure out how to get that recipe from the Washburn Lutherans, give me a call. They are really, really good. And we will have the Methodists have cut up watermelon for everybody. The Baptists are there. They're going to hand out you some chips. And we have Journey Church will be handing out bottled water, and the Washburn Ambulance will be handing out cupcakes. So everybody has, like, their place. And I love our community. That grew at event, I think, too, because the second year was like, oh, we're hungry. Can we eat out here? And you know, we're ready to play music. And so the food from the Washburn churches and ambulance has been immensely gratifying, I think. About year three, we also added the fun walk run. And I mean, I've gone to a 5K. I couldn't imagine having one, you know. So we had some runners. Mark and Karen Seiler from Zap came over and helped us, like, this is how you should do it. Keep it fun. You know, don't. There's a race, I think, almost every weekend in North Dakota somewhere. And these walk runner folks, they like to get timed. They wear a bib. It's kind of a big deal. They get a little medal. And we don't do any of that because we call it a fun run. But it's worth it to walk and run our race because it's right on those trails of the Cross Ranch. You're running right along the Missouri River. It's so beautiful to do that in that on Saturday morning.
Jill, if any event says and speaks to the word community, it's got to be this one.
Yeah, it does. It really is. It has our whole community involved through, you know, everyone's typically involved in a church in a small town. And I love that sometimes maybe a different circle is doing the beans or helping the Catholics. And it's really fun that there are people who have never been to Cross Ranch State Park who live 13 miles away. You know how that is. You don't go to places in your backyard, you know, tourist places or a campground. It is really a beautiful place to go to and walk your dog and sit by the river. And so I feel like we're helping our community discover a new place, honestly.
Yeah.
Yep.
When someone said, then you have proceeds, right? I mean, the whole goal here is to help local cancer patients, not cancer patients elsewhere, although they certainly deserve help too.
Sure.
These are local folks. These are our friends and neighbors. What does that mean in practical terms, Jill?
Practical terms, when you get a diagnosis of cancer, of course, your world turns upside down and you just, what do I do? And I feel the staff at the Bismarck Cancer Center, from the doctors all the way down to Joanne, our cleaning lady, are there for them. The emotional, mental support is there. We have the financial support to help them. We just try to we call them wraparound services. And that includes, you know, nutrition, emotional, There's some fun things they do as well. They have yoga classes for the patients if they want to. They have equine therapy with some horses, and they do some art classes as well. And the patients really enjoy those. It's probably something they would never do unless they're staying in Bismarck in our apartments having radiation every day. And so the wraparound services is what our foundation is all about. And research is important, too, and people can raise money that way, too. But these are for our patients. And I get to hand out that gas card. And I get to see them after they have their massage and how excited they are. So that's what I love about it.
We're being joined by our friend Jill Weiss. She's the event organizer of the 14th annual Bluegrass Goes Pink concert. Normally at Cross Ranch State Park. It's close by. It's going to be indoors in Washburn this year after some outdoor activities in the morning that we've discussed with Jill. You got to tell me about the band, Jill. What are you going to be doing?
Well, it's one of the best bands around, of course. So Cottonwood, my band, you know, the bluegrass band from Washburn, it was our decision to start this event as a band, and our families, you know, that help us, and our friends. And so, yeah, we have band practice tonight at my house, and we're going to welcome a gentleman, Juan Gelpe, is going to jump in with us on Saturday and play with us. So we'll be making our set list and getting ready to play. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of songs we're going to try to learn tonight, and just fun music, upbeat music. We do sing, we honor the five families with them lighting a candle in their loved one's memory. And if they want to take the microphone and say a few words, some years they're very shy, some years all five of the families will speak. But then we do sing one pretty sad song called I Believe, written by Jimmy Fortune. We got to record on a CD, actually. That's pretty tough. It's tough to sing it. It's tough to get through it. I think of my sister when I'm singing that song, and I think of how much she loved the Cross Ranch State Park. But she was a nurse as well and loved her patients, and she would absolutely love this event. And I should mention some sponsors. There's a real special sponsor, H.A. Thompson & Sons in Bismarck here, have been on board since day one. And the background on that is Mark and Claudia used to live across the street from my sister Barb over in Highland Acres there. And Claudia was like the guidance counselor for my nephews in grade school. So we go way back with those folks, and they knew Barb, and they're happy to help. And then we have Aspen Group, Steve Isles here in Bismarck, my high school buddy, and his group is a sponsor. We've got Rainbow Energy, which used to be Great River Energy. My husband retired from there, and they've been on board since day one. And just the state park helps us, you know, get the place ready. The Bismarck Cancer Center, all our volunteers, you know, it takes a village, but the sponsorship is what really helps with, you know, the overhead costs of marketing and shirts. And this year we have beach balls. And then one thing I have to mention is we do have dog bowls, water bowls for all the dogs in bright colors, and they get to take them home with them. So we kind of try to cover all the bases, you know.
Well, I was just going to ask you, this isn't just for adults. Now we know it's for dogs, but there's certainly, this is a family event.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to push a kid in a stroller, a baby in a stroller. It's very, I mean, there might be a little few bumps on the trail, but not bad, actually. A lot of kids that are camping out there or bring their bikes, and they love to ride their bike on those trails. So if you have kids, bring their bikes. We do charge $10 for the kids. We have tie-dye T-shirts for the kids that are really fun. And it's so beautiful, that walk run. And I know there's a gentleman who has been doing this event since year one. We actually honored his wife, Missy Hellman, on year number two. And Russ has come out and done the run. He loves to run. He times himself. And he wears the same shirt that he had 12 years ago with Missy's name on it. And I'm so humbled that he gets to come. He comes back every year and does the run, and he loves it. You know, how he remembers his family, his wife that passed away. And I don't think she was in her early 40s, you know. So it's a good way to remember people, raise money, have some fun, throw some beach balls around, but honor our loved ones that have died, too. I think we do it in a good way.
Sure. And, Jill, I think there may be folks listening who can't attend Saturday. but maybe they still want to support the cause. What should they do?
You know, they can certainly send a check off to the Bismarck Cancer Center, and maybe it's in memory of somebody they knew. That happens, actually. It's kind of fun. Like up to a month or two after, the finance department will say, "Oh, we got some money in," and I like to find out, you know, so we can write them a little card or something. But yeah, you can certainly do that and just Google the Bismarck Cancer Center address and send something off in memory or in honor of someone who's surviving cancer too, you know. And then did I mention our speaker from Underwood who's going to be speaking that night?
Go ahead.
Let me talk. His name is Ralph Dreesen. He's in the American Legion with me and fellow veteran, and he had breast cancer. And so we were talking at a Legion meeting, and I said, "Would you want to speak?" He's kind of shy. And he said, "I would love to." And so he's going to speak a little bit, especially to the men. If you get a lump, you have to check it out. You know, it could be something, you know, it might not be, but it could be breast cancer. And he was so shocked when he was diagnosed and had to go through treatment and everything. And so he's going to be our speaker, and Women's Way will be there as well. They're an outfit who provides a free mammogram and some female exams to those who qualify. And then also the Flickertail Woodcarvers will be there as well. And they they're a local carving group in Bismarck here, Mandan, and they make hearts for our patients. So when they get done with radiation, they hand them a heart carved by these Flickertail Woodcarvers. So they're going to be there as well at the hall, you know, with a table set up. So lots of things to see and visit when you come to the memorial building that night. Get your supper and visit some of these entities. And it's going to be nice and cool. In there.
You remind me, yeah, cool inside. You remind me of my friend Charles Pelkey, who we've had on Main Street. He's actually the morning host now for Wyoming Public Media and Morning Edition on its radio station. But he also was a male breast cancer survivor.
Wow.
And his story is I learned, not that unique like your friend.
Yeah. And it's important to get it checked out, you know, it's good. We're going to have
Jill,
him speak.
Your story reminds me, too, that, you know what, there's something for all of us to think about if we want to support our community. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a member of a bluegrass band or even someone who's wanting to support cancer. There's so many, many things to do. What keeps you motivated, Jill?
Oh, you know, I'm a nurse. I'm an EMT with the Washburn Ambulance, too. The caring aspect, I think, I care and love my patients so much. Of course, you know, I probably talk way too much with my patients. I've been guilty of that before. But I love my community of Washburn is so amazing. Unless you live in a community like I do, you really don't experience it, you know. And I love how all of our churches are involved and we're all good friends. And the sense of caring and being in a community that cares, it's a bubble. Our whole community cares. And they will be there on Saturday and serving. And that's what it's all about, is helping our patients get through their rough time just a little easier.
What's the best piece of advice you can give, Jill, to someone? And I just had a friend of mine just a week ago who learned that he had cancer, and his wife, she was scared.
Oh, yeah.
When someone first learns about this, as we kind of wrap up our conversation,
sure.
What's the best piece of advice you can give to the family?
You know, well, I'd say don't Google anything. You know, people want to Google the doctor and do that. You know, I think for the family to be as strong as you can for that loved one, you know, going to be going through that journey. And I would imagine most cancer centers are pretty much quite like us, where they really take care of the family as well. That's where we shine at the Bismarck Cancer Center, is we really take care of the family. As well, because they're going through it too. But, you know, if they're spiritual, you know, reach out to their pastor. Sometimes there are we have some really good support groups at the Bismarck Cancer Center, and there are cancer support groups. I would get involved with one of those, because now you're talking with the people who are walking your walk, you know, and discussing it with them, and, well, how were your side effects, and what did you do, and, you know, things like that. But, for the family going through it, that's tough. You know, the patients, they don't want to show they're too scared either. But like I said, at our Bismarck Cancer Center, we read that, we see that, and we take care of it, you know, as a staff.
Well, the big event is this Saturday, July 25th. It's the 14th annual Bluegrass Goes Pink concert and activities and fun run in the morning. It's near Cross Ranch State Park. That's where the run is. And of course, then dinner and the concert will be at the Washburn Community Center.
Correct.
Jill, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, great to talk with you, Craig. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for joining us on Main Street.
Support for Prairie Public is provided by the Bush Foundation, announcing the 2026 Bush Fellows. Meet the leaders thinking bigger and differently about what's possible for their communities in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and the 23 Native nations that share that same geography. More information at bushfoundation.org.
If you're listening to the 3 p.m. broadcast of Main Street, catch up on the news and stories from around the world, the nation, and here at home on All Things Considered. That's up next on Prairie Public. And if you're listening to us during the evening broadcast, keep it here for Travel with Rick Steves. That follows Main Street on Prairie Public.
This is Dakota Datebook for July 22nd. The Missouri River, the longest river in North America, begins its journey at Three Forks, Montana. It travels 2,341 miles before joining the Mississippi River just north of St. Louis. For 390 of those miles, it winds through North Dakota. It is a literal force of nature and such a major presence in the state that it's been called one of the defining attributes of North Dakota's landscape. The Missouri River plays an essential role in virtually every aspect of North Dakota life, from the economy and the environment to recreation and agriculture. On this date in 2025, North Dakota celebrated the first Missouri River Appreciation Day, as proclaimed by Governor Armstrong. The proclamation was intended to highlight the river's contributions to the state. It also encouraged a commitment to protecting and managing it wisely for the benefit of current and future generations. The proclamation notes that the river has played an important role in the history, culture, and economy of the state, serving as a waterway for indigenous tribes as well as explorers. It states, "The Missouri River continues to serve as a crucial source of fresh water for North Dakotans, supporting agriculture, industry, and the livelihoods of many, and thus remains a key natural resource deserving of recognition and protection." The governor concludes the proclamation by saying, "Missouri River Day provides an opportunity for North Dakotans to come together to celebrate the river, engage in environmental education and river cleanup activities, and reflect on the importance of this waterway in shaping the state's past, present, and future." There's no doubt that the Missouri, known somewhat derisively as the Big Muddy, can be annoying. It routinely floods every 10 to 20 years. In 2019, flooding caused extensive damage. Nearly 14 million people were affected, and residents along the river received more than $93 million in federal funding to aid recovery efforts. At those times, it's difficult to feel much affection for the river. The governor hopes that on Missouri River Appreciation Day, North Dakotans will put hard feelings aside and reflect on how much good that waterway does for the state. Today's Dakota Datebook was written by Dr. Carol Butcher. I'm Merrill Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding by the Study ND, North Dakota's largest lifelong learning community.
Support for Prairie Public is provided by Planned Parenthood, offering health education for teens and workshops for parents on topics including health, relationships, and growing up. More at ppncs.org.
We'd like to thank the North Dakota Council on the Arts for supporting arts programming here on Prairie Public.
And that's a wrap for this Wednesday's Main Street. We are deeply grateful that you've spent time with us. Tomorrow on the show, on a closer look with the Monitor, North Dakota lawmakers have launched a new interim committee to study artificial intelligence. But what, if anything, should the state regulate? That's ahead tomorrow on Main Street, and we look forward to your joining us again.